Welcome in Sabbath blessing to this blessed Sabbath, July 21st, 2018. This is our lesson 258, part 2 review of chapter 55, entitled Not Without Worship. The opening scripture song to our theme is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mas buscar primeramente el reino de Dios y su justicia, y todas estas cosas os serán añadidas.
We can all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for the Spirit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for the Spirit to have another blessed day. Forgive us for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ like spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong, your sacrifice, even know. I pray that you may be with us where we may go. We thank you for our help. We thank you for helping us be able to come to this blessed come to have another blessed study. We pray that you may be able to let us just be strong and be brave and be of good courage. Let us be able to keep on giving praises unto thee no matter where we are and what we do. Be with our brethren where they are, or be with them if there are any conflicts that they're having a tough time with. Let us be able to also keep on being faithful unto thee no matter where we are, no matter what we do. Let us be able to also keep on and show mercy and compassion and love. Let us be able to also keep on glorifying thee above of everything that we learned, everything we love. But let us be able to also keep on being faithful unto thee. Let us be able to also be strong and be let us be able to also be showing our reverence. Let us be obedient and unselfish, noble, and any characteristics that is of thee and not of the world. We love the Lord God, looking forward to being in the land you promised us. This is my very deep touch. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening verse for our review and our theme is taken from Psalms 100, verses 2 through 4 from the King James Version, and it reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? So before we hear your questions, your comments, or even share your testimony, Let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part 1 of our lesson entitled Not Without Will Show, part 2 of our study book, Desire Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, Bobla.
Desire of Ages, page 507. A herald had been sent from God to proclaim the coming of Christ and to call the intention of the Jewish nation and of the world to his mission that men might prepare for his reception. The wonderful personage whom God had announced had been among them for more than 30 years, and they had not really known him as the one sent from God. Remorse took hold of the disciples because they had allowed the prevailing unbelief to leaven their opinions and becloud their understanding. The light of this dark world has been shining amid its gloom, and they have failed to comprehend whence were its beams. And on the top slide it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In Matthew 3:3, for this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Continuing the reading, Desire Ages, page 508. They asked themselves why they had pursued the course that they had made it necessary for Christ to reprove them. They often repeat his conversation and say, why did we allow the earthly consideration and the opposition of the priest and the rabbi to confuse our senses so that we did not comprehend that a greater than Moses was among us, amen, that one who ministered, one wiser than Solomon, was instructing us. How dull were our ears, how feeble was our understanding. Desire Ages, 508, paragraph 1. Amen.
Thomas would not believe until he had thrust his finger into the wound made by the Roman soldiers. Peter had denied him in his humiliation and rejection. These painful remembrances came before them in distant lines. They had been with him, but they had not known or appreciated him. But how these things now stirred their hearts as they recognized their unbelief.
This is the Desire of Ages, page 508. As priests and rulers combined against them, and they were brought before councils and thrust into prison, the followers of Christ rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They rejoiced to prove before men and angels that they recognized the glory of Christ and chose to follow him at the loss of all things. The Desire of Ages, page 508, paragraph 3.
Desire of Ages, page 508. It is as true now as in apostolic days that without the illumination of the divine spirit, humanity cannot discern the glory of Christ. The truth of the work of God are unappreciated by a world-loving and compromising Christianity. Not in the ways of ease, of earthly honor, or worldly conformity are the followers of the Master found. They are far in advance in the paths of toil. And on the mills of slide, and it says, on the top side it says the Holy Spirit, and it says here that the grace of Christ purifies while it pardons and fits men for a heaven, holy heaven. That thou may know him, page 336, paragraph 5, margin. In 2 Corinthians 3:4-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But then, and it says on the bottom, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading, Desire Ages 508. The humiliation and reproach in the front of the battle, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and against power and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. And now, as Christ they are misunderstood and reproached and oppressed by the priests and Pharisees and Pharisees of their time, and in this time too. Desire Ages, 508, paragraph 4. And next to the slide is?
In 1 Corinthians 2:6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. In John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out.
The kingdom of God comes not with outward show. The gospel of the grace of God with its spirit of self-abnegation can never be in harmony with the spirit of the world. The two principles are antagonistic. The natural man receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually sinned.
Continuing, but today in the religious world, there are multitudes who, as they believe, are working for the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. Earthly and temporal dominion. They desire to make our Lord the ruler of the kingdoms of this world and the ruler in its courts and camps, its legislative halls, its palaces and marketplaces. They expect him to rule through legal enactment enforced by human authority. And continue on the next slide. Since Christ is not now here in person, they themselves will undertake to act in his stead, to execute the laws of his kingdom. The establishment of such a kingdom is what the Jews desired in the days of Christ. They would have received Jesus had he been willing to establish a temporal dominion, to enforce what they regarded as the laws of God and to make them the expositors of his will and the agents of his authority. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. He would not accept the earthly throne. Desire of Ages, page 509, paragraph 2. And on the slide it shows, Jesus is the great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the King James Version. And my kingdom is not of this world, that is, John 18, verse 36. Lesson 7, Mama. Love you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's consider this verse for our review section. This chapter of part 2 is very meaty. And it has very important, to me, I see like parables. That is what is going on with us right now, what we need to do. There was a proclamation in that time, which is a herald, that John had to prepare a people for Christ, establishing the Spirit of God and His law in their heart. And we are going to go through the same thing. So I'm going to sing the verse as a memory verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if Christ dwells in our hearts, this is how we can be able to proclaim Christ. So we pray by God's grace that with this lesson we get to see the importance of it is not without worship. So what have I learned and ways I have grown? Dear ones, now comes the time where the questions and comments will be welcome. Bubble up, dear family.
I know this question don't have much to do with the lesson today, but I was at work and there was a person that she was a Christian also, and she was telling me that Jezebel means person like Jezebel was a prostitute, and I told her, I said, no, we are in the Bible says that. I don't remember. We call that Jezebel was a prostitute. And I wonder how they come into that conclusion that Jezebel was a prostitute. Because if you Google that word, it will tell you the same thing.
Well, Jezebel was a prostitute in that, as queen of Israel, she should have worshipped the God of heaven. But she took another God in place of the God of heaven. Thereby, you might consider her a prostitute. She was a bad woman.
Wasn't she married? So she was an adulteress versus being a prostitute. So I think that's where the misconception is from what the world has perceived her as being a prostitute. But I thought she was an adulteress.
So my understanding is that she was a prostitute spiritually because she didn't take God as her husband. But then if it's so, why would they have as a prostitute in Google? That is wrong. She wasn't a prostitute.
I'm sorry, he's extremely loud. Isn't she the same woman that was trying to, have relations with somebody else while she was married behind her husband's back?
It may be that they're going on the history of the pagan religion, because Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians. And so being, you know, connected there with the worship of the false gods of the Zidonians, which the main god was Baal, is just taken that she was one of the temple virgins, the Vestal virgins, and they really were not virgins in the moral sense. And thus they were basically temple prostitutes. So that may be where they're drawing that analogy or that title for Jezebel, being that she was a prostitute before Ahab took her for wife. So, a little bit of history there.
Thank you so much, dear ones, for your comments and your questions. I would like to welcome all the dear brethren that are just coming into the room. This is a review section of our chapter that we read last Sabbath. If any one of the families or little ones would like to be able to ask any question, comments, or share their thought concerning the study or anything else, bubble up. There is a question in the room by dear sister. She says, how is it that the learned man at times did not know that the kingdom of God is not an earthly one? How come they were under Roman bondage? Anyway, okay, I'm going to attempt to be able to take us back to the beginning of our slide. If you notice where the disciples started to be able to feel that they had led themselves to be misled by the Pharisees and the scribes, which was the religious leaders of the time, and by guiding themselves by the teaching of their leaders or men, they were not given the opportunity by seeking to know the truth, but thus said the Lord, by their studying to show themselves approved unto God. I'm going to read the little passage in our first slide, just to give a little bit of the reference. It's that the Lord has sent a proclamation through John, and he has been preaching this for a while. So it says, the wonderful personage whom John had announced had been among them for more than 30 years. But it says that a herald has been sent from God to proclaim the coming of Christ and to call the attention of the Jewish nation and of the world to his mission, that men may be prepared for his reception. So here it tells you that remorse took hold of the disciples because they had allowed the prevailing unbelief to leaven their opinions and becloud their understanding. So the light of this dark world has been shining amidst his gloom, and they had failed to comprehend whence were his beams. So with all of the old teaching, by listening to their leaders, and also not searching, going back to the scripture, which is already written what Jesus was supposed to do and how he was going to come. But by relying on men, they became not only prepared and confused with what was at the time happening with Christ's reception. And yes, even though they was in bondage by the actual government at the time, it still didn't give them a reason for them not to, because the Old Testament was rich with all of the prophecies that were supposed to come to pass, that they may be able to identify who was going to be.
And it's so funny that that's this lesson is just coming so hand to hand is what's going on today with the Christian and those that is in the churches, because now they, like, if you tell them what thus said the Lord and they believe something different, and you ask them, where is it that they find that is in the Bible, and they will not know what to answer, or, you know, or they tell them that they pastor and they study it, and the pastor told you or tell them. It's such a sad thing, because now they're not even going and searching for themselves anymore. They just basically in a stupor, like how they was with the Pharisees and Sadducees at that time. So these are the new pastors and priests, I guess, in the churches, that they tell them the people one thing and the Bible and the gospel going another way.
Amen. That's very true. And, you know, the kingdom of God is not found in pomp and ceremony or in pride and display. It's found in humility and meekness. And so one of the reasons why the Jewish leaders rejected Christ is because he did not come to establish Israel as a temporal kingdom and to defeat the enemies, which at that time were the Romans. He came to defeat the greatest enemy of all time, which is the devil. And he was going to do that by implanting the principles of his kingdom of righteousness in the hearts of people. And the Jews didn't want a change of heart. They wanted a change of removing of literal bondage to the Romans and putting themselves as the rulers of the kingdom of the world. So they just wanted a change in position of temporal issues. They didn't want a change in spiritual issues dealing with the heart. And we have that very same problem of pride today. And as long as pride rules in the heart, there's no way that the kingdom of God can rule there as well. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, religious principles in the heart, and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be taken care of.
And I also noticed with that question that our dear sister asked, that even though that the leaders were the one teaching, the leaders were also taught by other people. So whatever it is that they have learned, they were bringing down the traditions and the belief of man, and they themselves became blinded. Because even though that they knew the scripture, they wasn't following the scripture as the instruction that was given unto them for them to be able to recognize it, which is the same thing. We have leaders in the Christ kingdom that they go to ministry school and all these different education, and yet they're still teaching the same tradition that they have been taught and still misleading many because they would not allow them to study for themselves with the scripture. And it's so wonderful to know that the Lord is allowing the kingdom of heaven to be within us, because if we had to be able to depend upon men or their wisdom to do so, then we would have been in peril. I really believe that. Well, dear ones, this chapter is so meaty, and I pray by God's grace that the parents and the children will be able to sit and discuss, because as you look at each one, you will realize that we are actually living and experiencing these things that we have read from part two. For just as John was a herald, we do have a messenger that God had given us to give us messages to be able to be aware as well. We have a herald proclamation as well, which is our three messengers, the third angel's messages, and the Lord Christ. And we are seeing all of these things coming to pass. Well, dear ones, if there's no testimony or any other questions, dear ones, we are going to allow our dear brother Dick to also have the opportunity to ask or ask anyone if they have any question on the section of story time.
Okay, boys and girls, it's review time. So come up with all your questions, and we'll try to answer them. Our study last week was, we choose to please God, not ourselves. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's what Jesus said in John 8:29. And we should do the same thing. Had he, Christ, chosen to do so, he could have passed his days in the world in his own creating, in ease and plenty, and claimed for himself all the pleasures and enjoyments of the world the world could give him. But he did not consider or think of his own convenience. He lived not to please himself, but to do good and to lavish his blessings upon others. He freely shared his blessings with others. That's what lavish means. What is duty? We spoke about duty last week. Anybody know what duty is? Well, it's something that we're supposed to do. The voice of duty is the voice of God. It is the child's duty to obey their parents. It is the duty of the parents to obey God. If boys and girls refuse to give heed, that means to listen to and obey God's counsel, and choose the way that is best pleasing to themselves, they are closing their ears to the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit won't be able to get their attention, and they will be lost. So we must listen to the Holy Spirit. And the way we understand what the Holy Spirit says to us is by reading God's Word, and God will bring back to your memory words of Scripture that will be the counsel of the Holy Spirit to you in whatever situation you're in. If men and women, or boys and girls, do their own thing, they will meet with disappointment because they've chosen their own way instead of God's way. Do you remember what disappointment means? It means you were expecting something and it didn't happen. If we expect to go to heaven when Jesus comes, but we don't want to obey him, we will be disappointed. Our loving Heavenly Father is our ruler. He makes the rules and we obey them. And we must submit to his discipline. In other words, do as he asks. We are members of his family. He has a right to our service. Your mamas and daddies have a right to ask you to help keep the house clean and orderly because you're a member of the family. We suffer disappointment because we don't obey God. His will for us is found in his word, the Bible. Ask your mama to read to you out of the Gospel of John and from the Psalms. And, all right. David said, even in Satan's earth, God had his hand, Job, Noah, etc., because they drew near to him. Well, those people obeyed him, and he rewarded them. The reward that Job got came later in life, and it did for Noah, too, because he obeyed. He was allowed to live through the flood and start repopulating the earth, hopefully with good people, but somehow they went bad. I guess the devil didn't die during the flood either. In fact, Sister White says he feared for his life because God made him stay right down in the storm. But other than that, any other questions? No questions. Well, I was once a little child too, and I didn't know what the word question meant, and especially in church. But when I was home, I could ask lots of questions, and Daddy used to say, quit asking so many questions. So maybe your daddy told you the same thing. I don't know. I will turn it back to Rose now. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. So, dear ones, I pray that you will be able to go back and be able to search deep, because this part 2, 1, and also part 3, it is actually for our time as well. And if you are shy and you don't want to ask the question in the room, please, dear ones, you could send them also on the email. And there will be a chance to be able to discuss or clarify anything that you may have. So next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled, Not Without Worship, in our study book, The Sad Ages. Any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, so even our guests, would like to close with prayer. Babala. If we all could bow our heads on our knees, if possible, dear ones, as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, also we ask, dear Lord, that we send the Holy Spirit to bring understanding, to bring it home to the heart soil, and also give us power that we can put it into practical use. Father, we know that without the impression and the illumination of your Holy Spirit upon our being, we will not come to a full understanding of the precious gem that you have in store, not only in your word, Father Jesus, in the spirit of prophecy, and even the personal relationship that you want to have with us, that if we ask and come into communion with thee, that you will sit and sat with us and will give us clarity by us digging into the word as well. Father Jesus, may you please be with the dear family and those on the phone and those that will be in the room with us, those that will be also listening over the radio on the recording, Father. We pray that you may draw us closer every day. Help us that we may be able to remove our unbelief, all the traditions and all the teachings of men, and come as little children at thy feet, Father, and ask and inquire. If these things them are so, this is the time that we have, dear Lord, that we can be able to do so. For one day there will be a famine upon the land, and it will not be of bread, but of the living word. And we pray that we will not be found wanting. So, Father, we pray that you will be able to be here with us and not only in our service, but after service, during the week, and during our time of study. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. Forgive us for our unchristlike spirit. Forgive us from being dull of hearing, Father Jesus, and slow to be able to comprehend. Help us, dear Lord, that we may exercise our muscle of our understanding and our heart as well, to be able to receive the manna from heaven. Forgive us, Lord, for not meeting the time that is so urgent and important now to be able to proclaim. Sanctify us through that truth is my prayer, for thy word is true. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, dear ones, next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be July 28th. We will have a new part 3, lesson 259, chapter 55, Not Without Worship. We hope and pray that all you were blessed, and may you have a blessed rest of this Sabbath. God bless everyone.